he noted, you recognize his background now, I hope. And that's the last thing you'll see of it for this talk. I want to talk, this is going to be an observational talk. It's a novelty for me. We're talking about filament chirality over an entire cycle determined with an automated detection module. And we find a neat surprise in doing that. And the authors are Karthik Pillai, is a graduate student in computer science here at MSU. Anthony Yeats and Duncan Mackay are my great collaborators from Scotland. Anthony's in England now. And I'll show you. Let me start with the background. This is a project I've been the PI on for quite a while. And what you see here is a lifetime, the archives say, of different missions. And here, that's the start year to separate them. And you say that, you see that SDO and ATSD are very different from anything else in terms of size of archive and also the downlink rate, which is the logarithm of the radius of this blue circle. And NASA was very proactive in realizing that we need a different way of analyzing those data if we're ever going to get everything out of them. And so the team that we have has a paper and a website, which is not very important. But what we do, we have 16, we produce 16 software modules that detect, analyze, and track solar features. And why are we doing this? As I showed, the overwhelming data stream, just don't have enough graduate students to analyze all this data. And I think as a discipline, we also will benefit from moving away from analyzing single events and going to large sets of data and trying to find correlations there. That will add additional knowledge to what we can derive from looking at individual events. So we have an international team, 7 institutions in the US, 5 in Europe. SEO plays a leading role. I happen to be back at MSU. And what we make is separate, robust, efficient software modules, standardized interface protocols that can deal with the enormous data stream we have from SDO, and hopefully in the future ATSD. So our output are metadata and real space-time weather alerts and VO event in VO event format catalogs, and we deliver those data to the HEC where anyone can download them and use them, and we also they're also accessible through the Virtual Solar Observatory. You can just, in your code, you can just call the metadata in and use it. Very convenient. So let me give you an example of one module. This is the filament detector module written and maintained by Pietro Bernasconi at APL. What you see here are filaments, and what the code does is detect the spine, outlines the image itself, and also measures the barbs and their inclination. And from the barbs, you can detect the chirality of a filament. I'll get back to that. So this is a very nice code by Pietro. He tracks the filaments also. So what I'll do here, give you an overview of the first results from the filament and sigmoid detection codes, a review of the first scientific results, and a comparison of these results with a recent, also very surprising simulation by Yeats and Mackay. So barb bearing in filament. To get back to chirality. Chirality is a very nifty concept that introduced by Sarah Martin. And what you see here is a spine of a filament and barbs. And those can have two different orientations along the spine, and those are different in chirality. They're different like your hands are different. You cannot move your hands so that they cover each other completely because they're mirror images of each other, right? And it's very good we have that, actually. But if you do this, then they can cover, so they're mirror images. And that's the same is true with filaments, although it's not so intuitively obvious as with your hands. And so without knowing anything about the magnetic field, you can determine the left bearing, or describe the left bearing and the right bearing filaments, and that's what Sarah Martin did 20 years ago. So the module by Pietro determines the filament bearing in about 50% of the cases. In the other cases, it decides this is not good enough. I cannot attach a bearing to this. And here you see some examples: Dextrol, Sinestrol. And the observations of Sarah Martin have shown that barb bearing is intrinsically related with filament chirality. So right bearing is a dextral chirality, and a left bearing is a sinistral chirality. And in the early years of the last decade, there was a very nice manual determination of chirality by Alex Pevtsov and a bunch of coworkers for about 2 years, and they found or confirmed that there's a dextral preference, left-handed twist in the northern hemisphere, and vice versa. So here you have latitude versus percent of total for left-handed filaments, and you see they want to be in the northern hemisphere, and the right-handed ones want to be in the southern hemisphere. And this, the white bars are what Alex and his collaborators determined, and the black bars are is what Pietro's co-determined. And there's a very good overlap, so you can trust one against the other, I think. And this is for what, 2000 to 2002. And so this confirms the rule. Now we all believe forever that there is left-handed filaments in the northern hemisphere and vice versa. Well, turns out not to be true. So here we have another module. This is the one mostly written by Manolis Grigoulis at the University of Athens. And he detects and measures sigmoids. And as we know, sigmoids, S marks the spot, they're a really good indicator for upcoming big flare. And here you see what he does. He, like with the filaments, he outlines the spine. He outlines the sigmoid itself and measures whether it's an S or a Z. Like with chirality, S and Z are mirror images of each other, and you can't transfer one to the other. So this is automatically done now with AIA data in 94 angstroms. We found that was the best wavelength, and it also works on XRT. And there's a detection limit. You can't go all the way to the limb because then the code doesn't work that good. So here the green line, the green circle is the detection limit. So what I was after, what I started with, is let's see at the correlation, let's look at the correlation between filaments and sigmoids. Started out with this computer science student, and we looked at about 5 months worth of data, detected about 3,500 filaments, 1,200 sigmoids. We filtered some out that were too close to the limb, and we found 500 dextral, 620 sinistral, and a lot of undefined filaments, which is turns out to be normal for the low part of the cycle, the minimum of the cycle. Sigmoids are all, you don't have to throw out any data. You found half about S's and the other half are Z's. Okay, so this is a nice result. Now, here's a surprise. We look at sinistral and dextral as a function of latitude. So this bin is minus 75 to minus 60, minus 60 to minus 45, all the way up to the most northern bin, 60 to 75. You see there's absolutely no correlation with latitude. It's just flat, both of them, both the sinistral and dextral. Very surprising. So my first reaction to my student is, what did you do wrong? And then we looked at sigmoids, and we got the same result. So here you have latitude, and here you have percentages, and you see there's not really a chirality in this time frame. And then go back to the original purpose of this exercise was, okay, how many filaments have a sigmoid connected to it? Well, that's a small percentage, right? How many sigmoids have filaments? Well, about a third, which was a surprise to me. It means two-thirds of sigmoids don't have a filament with. And then here, this is what you call the truth table in solar physics. And in computer science, they call it the confusion matrix. So it was a nice example on how it takes a while to start speaking each other's language. And you see there's a good correlation between sinistral forward and inverse dextral. Not perfect, far from it, but it never is in solar physics. So I showed these data very surprisingly to Anthony Yeats, and he immediately gave me the data. And in no time, he came back with this plot, and he decided to do all the data that we have for the filament coat. From 2002 to 2012, what you see blue is sinistral, I think. Red is dextral, and every block is a period of time and a segment in latitude, right? So you see, indeed, 2002, 2003, the rule was pretty well conserved. Then it goes away during the long and extended SOLA minimum. Can't really say what our code what. And then it tries to come back in the new cycle, but it's not really back. Because our data were taken in the end of 2011, beginning of 2012. We see it's all blue dominated. It's not really a rule. So the effect in the new cycle hasn't reestablished itself. And now comes another surprise. Then Anthony and Duncan showed to me, we've done these simulations. And we couldn't reproduce the chirality rule. So we didn't dare to publish them. And then they came, you see, so blue is one chirality and red, the other, I forget what it's what. It doesn't matter, but you get these problems here at the most northern and most southern conversion lines. And sometimes the correlation is pretty weak and sometimes it's good. There's not a perfect overlap with our results, but they see a strengthening and going away of the rules. So now they've published a paper, now they dare to. So conclusions, the chirality pattern waxes and wanes. It's not always strong. A filament chirality and sigmoid handedness seems preserved even when the chirality rule disappears. The simulations by Yeats and Mackay show similar results, but far from perfect agreement. That's what we hope to work on in the future. And this type of work, there are about 100,000 filaments per cycle. You can only do with this automated detection facility that we have built. You can't do this by hand. And actually, getting the metadata and producing this work is very easy and very quickly done. So this demonstrates the strength of this approach. That's my point. Thank you.
Back to your plot of the chirality versus latitude.
Yes, ma'am.
No, the one where you saw no correlation early on. Yeah. So if I squint at that, I can kind of convince myself there's some sinusoidal dependence there. Is that real or is that in the noise?
I would guess it's in the noise. Because both, you see, they're very closely correlated, the red and the blue pluses. That's the curious. They are just less there in the minus 30 to minus 15, but God knows what.
So what's your explanation for why it goes away sometimes?
I don't have one yet. This is what we hope to work on in the future, Anthony and Duncan and I, because they see similar results in their codes, but they couldn't quite explain it to me in simple terms either.
What they put in is just where the flux comes up.
Right, as measured. Yeah. Yeah. It has something to do with rush. I agree.
The block grand average over a cycle, the tendency of Coriolis.
It has something to do with rush through the poles and all that, but I haven't quite figured it out yet.
One last one, Spiro. I'll get the last word.
Yeah, I wonder if the explanation is the complexity of the polarity inversion line at the photosphere. So, you can imagine that on any one polarity inversion line, there's only going to be one polarity, right? And a polarity inversion line generally forms a closed circle. You could split, but it's going to be a closed line. But during that deep minimum, the polarity inversion line was very complex, went up and down, crossed the equator many times. So now, which way is your filament going to go? Because now you've got a polarity inversion line that goes north and south, so I'm wondering if you can look for the complexity of the polarity inversion lines, which is these filaments lie, and also their latitudinal extent, and see if that kind of plays a role in whether there is a preferred chirality versus a confused chirality.
That's definitely on our agenda.